Greg Gabriel, the National Football Post, with Mully and Hanley. Greg Gabriel with Mully and Hanley on 670 The Score.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Let's get out to the Home Run In hotline. Home Run In, always a big hit for the holidays. Barry Rosner sitting in for Mully. Mully out ill today. And we find our buddy Greg Gabriel, NFPost.com, the director's report. Former director of college scouting for the Chicago Bears, 28-year veteran in the NFL. And Greg, how you doing today?
I'm doing real good. How about you guys?
Well, we're doing well. We're wondering what the hell's going to go on with the Bears offense come Sunday. And, you know, you kind of had a first-row look at Caleb Haney as the Bears were deciding to go after the kid. And 4 years into the Bears team, maybe not Mike Martz's system, we're seeing, I don't know if it's a finished product, but certainly a disappointing product.
Yeah, you'd have to say he's been disappointing. I expected a lot more. The thing that he hasn't been is decisive. He's not a quick decision maker, and he's not processing things quick on the field. He's holding onto the ball too long. And because of that, they're just not making plays. And I think, you know, when defenses or the opposing teams go into game plan against the Bears, they see this on tape, and they're going to pressure him, and they're going to keep putting him in those situations. But in saying that, this team is, you know, three plays away from winning two out of the last three games. If Roy Williams makes that catch at the goal line, we go into overtime or win that game against last week against Kansas City, or 2 weeks ago against Kansas City. And then last week, if Barber doesn't run out of bounds or doesn't fumble, they win that game. So we might not be having a conversation about Caleb in that case.
Greg, it's not easy finding veteran backups who are willing to take the job knowing that they're not going to get snaps during the week or snaps on Sunday, but teams do it, and if they can't find that, then they draft and develop. The Bears haven't really been able to do that, and they've sort of gotten by. They've gotten lucky the last 3 years because Jay Cutler's been out there all the time, and now he's hurt, and they find themselves in a situation where they're having to play a guy who doesn't look like he belongs out there. You know, but teams are able to do it. Where'd the Bears go wrong here?
Well, you know, to be fair, I think that the Bears wanted to draft young guys and develop some young players.
Tried with LaFever, right?
Right, but then what happened was you had Mike Martz come in last year, a new offense, and he wanted a veteran backup. I think management was against it at first, but then when Caleb got hurt in the preseason, taking away all his preseason snaps, he got hurt in the first preseason game a year ago, they had to bring in Todd Collins, and that actually hurts a guy like Haney's development. And also because of that, they were forced to cut LaFever. So it ended up being a wasted draft pick for LaFever.
Right.
So now you have to go back to square one. They drafted the kid this year from Idaho,
Nathan Enderle. Yeah,
right. But who knows what he is? And he's also a late round pick. But the problem, or the problem I've seen with Haney is, like I said before, the lack of indecisiveness. But he, when you see guys like T.J. Yates, who's a fifth round rookie, low round guy, similar type of player as Haney was coming out, come in and make plays. He hasn't lost a game.
Well, I'm going to
for the Texans since he's been in there. You know, he
threw for 300 yards last week, and drove him for the winning touchdown.
Right. I watched the game, and he had some bad throws, but when he had to come up with plays, he made the plays, and he did an excellent job. And that's so now you have to say, well, look at this guy's doing it for them. How come our guy can't do it? Is it the player? Or is it the scheme? I don't have the answer to that. You don't have the answer to that, but it's probably a combination of both.
And I'm going to guess that Caleb, when he was at Colorado State, didn't have problems making decisions and quick decisions and more often than not the right decisions. But the speed of the game in the NFL, obviously a vastly different thing than you deal with in college. Is that now a big sign of lack of confidence?
It could be. I think that he's just been playing very close to the vest and very cautious and hasn't been asserting himself on the field. And that shows. And it shows big because the other team can see it, and then they're just going to pressure him.
Greg, Green Bay is
pretty good.
It looks they really look unbeatable simply because they can't be stopped offensively. I mean, their defense hasn't played all that well, but it appears as though there's no way to stop their offense. And they've got an excellent chance to run the table in the regular season. At what point, if you're Mike McCarthy, do you start thinking about, especially after the big injury last week, do you start thinking about maybe resting guys? He's talked about maybe the last two games he might do some of that. The Colts seem to be very upset about it when they had their chance to run the table, and they didn't look quite the same after that. What would you do if you had the opportunity?
You know, I think you got to play smart football, and once they lock up the number one seed, then you got to look at the big picture, and the big picture is winning the Super Bowl, not having an undefeated season. And you have to protect your core players. You know, a few years ago, Belichick kept some players in a game after they had locked up a seed, and they ended up getting hurt and didn't play in the playoffs, and they were knocked out of the playoffs early. So, you know, it's, you never know when a guy's going to get hurt. It could be a freak situation, but you have to protect your team for the long run.
You've been on the NFL panel that gives information to kids considering coming out early and giving them indication of where they might go, what their stock is in the NFL, and maybe you can give our listeners an idea of what goes on there, what goes into that, what kind of information you take into account, your own scouting. I know you used to be down Notre Dame all the time, and you saw Manti Te'o in particular up close early on in his career, and he's sticking around for a fifth year under still a new coach down there. What are the pluses and minuses for a kid like that sticking around for a program that likely won't contend for a championship next year? And what kind of information do these kids seek out when they talk to that panel?
Well, that's a big question. I guess we got to go ABC. First of all, the way the panel works, you go through your school, either your head coach or your pro liaison, and there's paperwork you fill out that goes into the league. The league player personnel department then distributes those names to the clubs that are actually on the committee. I was on the committee for 7 years, and they have 4, 5, 6 teams look at the player and give an evaluation. Now, they're not going to say he's a top one or a bottom one or something like that. They come back with the evaluation that says you have the ability to be drafted as high as the first round. You have ability to be drafted as high as the second round, et cetera. And then after the third round, they say you have the ability to be drafted in rounds 4 through 7, or you're not going to get drafted. So that's what they get back. But now, in saying all that, a lot of times the person doing the evaluation for the clubs might be a young scout or something, there's been cases, and I know this for a fact, and it was one thing I didn't like, was that some teams, look at the situation. They go, I don't want this player in the draft because, you know, he could be good for next year's draft. We're going to need this guy next year, and we'd have a better chance of getting him if he wasn't in the draft this year. And they may lowball him, and I don't think that's right. And you'll never get a guy publicly saying that he's done it, but I know some people who have been on the committee have said that to me in the past, and this was a few years ago. I had a conversation with a guy, and I got a little upset about it because I didn't think it was fair. But overall, the grade that the league gives out to the players are fairly conservative, because the league's MO is that they want the kids to stay in school. You know, because we have the league itself has very good relationships with the college coaches, and they don't want these kids leaving early. They'd rather have them stay in school and graduate. I think if a kid's ready to come out, he should come out. You know, he's going to school at these big schools to hopefully play pro football, and if he's got an opportunity, take the chance and run, because the shelf life in pro ball is very, very small. But now getting to the other part of the question with Te'o did not have as good a year this year as he had last year, and partly because he was injured most of the year. He had a high ankle sprain. He missed a lot of practice time during the week and then just played in the games. And when you don't practice during the week and you don't have all your mobility, lateral mobility, and forward speed, it's going to take away from your game, especially at the position he plays. So he probably got a low ball grade from the NFL when he put his name in and said, you know what, I'm better off staying in school. And in his case, he's probably right. But now if you go back and look at tape from last year, then you're going to say he's a first-round pick.
Greg, always appreciate our conversation. Look forward to it next week. Take care of yourself.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Greg Gabriel, you find his stuff, nfpost.com, the director's report, a lot of great information there. You got Molly and Hanley on the score.